I remember, I've done it in more than one school I've worked in now, or at least been part of the process, where we work to put together, for lack of a better word, a graduate profile. In other words, what is it that we hope our graduates will be able to do when they leave this school? And you see it in public schools, you see it in private schools, Catholic schools, and so forth. Some of them are better known than others. The Jesuits, for example, have had a high school profile for a long time, known as the grad at grad, or the graduate at graduation. You can certainly look at other types of schools who have developed specific characteristics and even measurements to determine whether or not the goals of the education have been fulfilled. Well, in today's gospel, we get a little picture of a type of graduate profile for Christians. In other words, the characteristics that we should have if we are going to be true and authentic in our claim to be Christian. They are the Beatitudes. And we could ask ourselves as we go through this list, how are we doing with these various characteristics that Jesus describes as blessed or lucky or valuable or tremendous? These are the ones who have received and acted upon the gifts that they've been given by God. So, we may ask ourselves, when it comes to being poor in spirit, how are we doing? In other words, do we think as people who are poor, and in that sense are generous to others, or do we find our mind occupied by this possession and that possession and this thing and that thing and getting this new item or this wonderful new house or this kind of job? Is our first mindset, we need to get more stuff? Or is our first mindset, we need to share what we have? We know that things are so fleeting in life. And so we could ask ourselves, when sad things happen, do we allow ourselves to feel the sadness and the brokenness of our life? Do we allow ourselves to mourn so that Jesus can heal it? Because if we can admit when we're mourning, if we can admit when we're sad, then there's room for comfort. Do we insist on being the most powerful? Or can we say that we're meek? Recognizing that there are always people that have this skill that's better than ours, or that talent, or this quality. Can we presume that we're meeting the Christ every single time we encounter someone? Or do we think of things in a different way? And we can go through the whole list, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being merciful, being clean of heart, being peacemakers. But then comes what I think is the most difficult. Sometimes I think we can think that if we do what God wants us to do, if we're Christians and we live life like Jesus and we have faith in God and we live our lives in this way, that means that everything will work out for us, that life will be good and wonderful and easy. But Jesus, and so often in other sections of the gospel, indicates this may not be the case. Because he says that there will be some who will be blessed, who will be fortunate, who will be lucky when they're persecuted for the sake of righteousness. When they are insulted and persecuted and being uttered every kind of slander against them because of Jesus and their faith in Jesus, then those are the ones who are fortunate. That's not exactly the way we see life in this day and age. We don't often look at the types of things that are listed here in our society, and we don't always see them as the signs of blessing from our God. Often we see them as just the opposite, that if things are not going well for me, I may feel underappreciated. People, if they only knew who I really was. The task of the Christian life is to come to that conclusion. Who are we? What is it that is the identity that we hold? It begins, really, in the first reading. It begins with this great invitation to seek out the Lord. Those who are humble, those who know who they are in the eyes of God and in the eyes of others. Not people who beat themselves up for being horrible human beings, but people who can stand before God and recognize that they are not God. That there is in this quest a search for the other that is so far beyond what we can become. And in the second reading, we're reminded that when it comes to a certain scale, the scale of the world, we don't really have too much. Not really. We can't, generally speaking, identify anything we have that was not given to us. Either because the skills to acquire it were taught to us by someone else, or the way in which we were raised gave us a certain amount of stuff that set us in a good place, or that we were in the right place at the right time, and we had that fortunate person who could see our potential and help to reward us in a particular way. When it comes to God, the most important qualities are not always the ones that society holds up as being really wonderful or tremendous. Occasionally, someone who is generous is held up. Occasionally, someone who has given all is held up, someone like Mother Teresa. But generally speaking, we don't hold up those who are kind. Take a look at the news, for example. It's not filled with stories of people who were tremendously kind. We may get an occasional story here or there. Generally, it's filled with brokenness. There's a war going on here. There's these riots here. There's crime here. There's people who don't have enough to eat here. The economy is not looking so great here, and so forth. They tend to be quite negative things. And they don't measure the things that really matter to God, the state of our heart. Do we allow God to craft our identity? Do we allow God to make us into the persons that He has created us to be? God desires that every single one of us be saved. He could have given up on us. He didn't even need to create us. But because God is love, He not only creates us, but desires us to live forever with Him. Can we allow Jesus to bring to life the reality of our own baptism? We were marked in a special way. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit to live in a particular way as beloved sons and daughters of God. Can we allow that to happen? Can we allow ourselves to be changed so that we become more like Jesus? Can we allow ourselves to recognize the presence of Christ in everyone around us and treat them as reverently and with as much respect as we do when we're here in church in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament? Such is the goal every time we come to Mass, that we will leave as people dramatically changed by our presence here in the celebration of Mass. That when we hear the stories of our faith, we are inspired to live in a wonderful, tremendous, and outstanding way. When we receive the Lord Jesus in the Eucharist, when we see His presence, when we recognize that when we come to Mass, we touch a little bit of the heaven that is in store for us for all eternity, can we recognize that that changes us? And if it doesn't, can we ask God to help us to change? Can we really, truly, honestly ask the Holy Spirit to come into our lives so that we might be made holy? Holiness is not some quality reserved for the select few. It is the invitation of everyone who has been baptized. And so, with faith in the God who baptizes, let us ask the Lord to make us holy.